He is your Brewers post-game host with Brewers Extra Innings on the Brewers Radio Network. Dominic Catronio, thank you for joining us to talk about the Freddie Peralta trade.
Wait, is that what happened? What's going on? I thought we just wanted to talk about baseball on a cold day, right?
I'm a little bit bummed out.
Of course.
I know that Adam, I don't know. What do you want to say publicly?
Okay, well, we were saying in the break,
Dom. You're going to throw a chair?
These chairs are bulky. I would not want to throw those around our lovely Annex Wealth Management Studios. I'm not mad. I'm disappointed, Dom.
But why are you disappointed?
Because this is just like the same old song and dance that we as Brewers fans, I feel, have to get accustomed to. It's not like I'm shocked. We knew that this was likely going to be the course of action. And as you mentioned, there are some pretty good prospects in this deal. So great. Am I allowed to be sad that my ace is gone?
Of course. Okay. I think the way that I react to all this, and I was in the camp from the beginning of the offseason, I would not trade him. So, like, I was very firm, even when these rumors started to pop up in October and November, like, I don't see a need to trade him. The reason why the Brewers did it is because they got an offer they couldn't refuse. And furthermore, when you look at this roster, and when you look at getting Brandon Woodruff back on that one-year qualifying deal, that's the whole reason this happened. Not a money deal, but the fact that you have a veteran that wants to prove it, that wants to be here and gets one more year, there's your opening day starter right there. You complement that with all the surplus that you have in the rotation. And Tobias Myers is included in that too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Tobias was going to crack the opening day roster. So that's somebody that becomes expendable. And you think about Miz, you think about Priester, you think about Chad Patrick, you think about Aaron Ashby, you think about Logan Henderson, you think about Robert Gasser, you think about Coleman Crowe, like, the Brewers have studs at the starting rotation that they are ready to handle this.
Now, I will say, I'll play devil's advocate with myself here for a moment. I remember certainly when we started talking about Jackson Churio, no one was hot about wanting to talk about a prospect unless you were in that world and knew that, no, he's not just any prospect. He's going to be good. And Dom, as you've mentioned on social media, the two guys we're getting are not nobody prospects. They're top 100s, and they could be competing on that roster right out of the gate.
Yeah, I was talking to a scout last night who evaluates the Mets, and he was saying that he believes Jet Williams, awesome name, by the way. Let's talk
great
about that
name
for a second.
I know.
Great. Yes, he's fast. He had over 30 stolen bases in the minor leagues last year, but he believes Jet Williams can be a big league second baseman or center fielder, and he has, you know, calling cards and traits to do. You know, he has really good strike zone discipline. Yes, he's another short king at the Brewers, so love, 5'7", 175 pounds, but he swings harder than that. There's things under the hood that you can really like about him. And then the evaluator also continued on Brandon Sproat, who's the pitcher that they acquired, a right-hander who can run it up to 100 miles an hour in the minor leagues. He's sitting 95, 98 in the majors, but the point being is that you put him in the Brewers mold. The Brewers obviously have a reputation of developing pitching. Man, he is going to be unlocked, and the Brewers are going to find every last bit of value out of him. And oh, by the way, you get 6 years of him. You get at least 6 years of Jet Williams for 1 year of Freddie Peralta and Tobias Myers.
You think they're going to fine-tune Sproat?
Absolutely. I think there's so much to like in his repertoire, and he already does things that the Brewers seek out and try to tell their players to do. He has multiple fastballs. He has a devastating breaking ball. He has a very good changeup. He's young. He's controllable. He was a college arm. He's somebody that the Brewers identified even in his drafts that they had an idea of, like, maybe we take this guy, but the Mets beat him to the punch.
WTMJ's Dominic Catronio with us on Wisconsin's After News. If I can circle back, because we've had a couple of people on our Citing Unlimited talk and text line with questions for you. I know you're going to be doing a lot more answering of these questions later on, but one that was interesting that I saw on our text line was about this idea of financial independence that our starting rotation gives us for these next 6 years. I know you started with it a bit at the top. Can you expand upon that a little?
Yeah, so the financials of Major League Baseball go like this. When you make your big league debut, you are under team control for 6 years. And you actually technically don't have a say in your salary until the third year when you enter arbitration, which is what the Brewers are in right now with William Contreras. So the point being is that those first 3 years that you're a big leaguer, you're essentially making league minimum, which means you can spend that money and the surplus value that you're getting out of the players that the Brewers expect them, you know, all these great rookies that they've been able to produce over the years, that surplus value that you're getting can be spent on other areas of the roster. And you look at a team like the Seattle Mariners, right? They were also in the championship series over in the American League. What makes them so dynamic and so exciting is that they had the, young core of starting pitchers that they have going right now. They're entering their arbitration years. They're able to use some of that surplus money on signing extension to Julio Rodriguez, signing extension to Cal Raleigh. So the Brewers have signed the extension to Jackson Churio. Christian Yelich's deal is coming to the end in 3 years. Who's next? Is Bryce Terang next? Is Sal Frelick next? Is one of these arms next to get some of that value?
How's Sal and Miz doing? The Miz.
The Miz is going to have a really big role next year. And quite frankly, you're losing 32-plus starts from Freddy Peralta. It needs to be replaced somewhere. And you're going to look to Jacob Mizrowski. He's got to develop in the big leagues ASAP, meaning you're going to need probably 28 to 32 starts out of him to expect that the Brewers are where they want to be and be just as good as they are in 2026.
I did want to follow up on the financial side of things really quickly, Dom. You mentioned how it will impact our ability to offer extensions to some of these guys. What about free agency? The long calling card for Matt Arnold has been, we'll take some swings, if you'll pardon the pun, and if we don't get the A-lister, well, that's just kind of the way baseball works and how it works in Milwaukee. Does this apply to any of that at all?
The biggest thing that's hurting the Brewers right now is the lack of a television partner. Now, they're still in negotiations right now, but that's guaranteed revenue. That's guaranteed money that you can get. That is currently $0. And generally, teams need to know what they're bringing in before they spend it. And that's why the Brewers aren't participating on the free agent market. And regardless of what happens with the television deal, that the Brewers aren't exactly shopping in that aisle. I mean, I remember when they acquired Rhys Hoskins 2 years ago and Matt Arnold, pretty much to the day, I think 2 years ago today, that Matt Arnold said, I didn't think we were going to access a player like this, signing him to a $18, $19 million deal, whatever it was for the 2 years. The point being is that the Brewers don't shop in that aisle because when it goes wrong, which quite frankly, it did last year for Rhys Hoskins, it's a bit more of a failure. Like, oh man, that's a lot of money. Could have used at the deadline, could have used sprinkled out elsewhere. So they pull their punches. They're not shy about understanding, hey, we need to be smart here. And that's why you have these hard decisions with Freddy Peralta.
When does Cactus League play start?
It is in less than a month. It's actually shocking to believe. This is the earliest opening day in baseball history coming up. And the Brewers open at home, by the way, against the White Sox. So I believe it's the 20th, and we don't have our broadcast schedule out yet. Not quite finalized, but you can catch plenty of the games here on WTMJ.
And he's going to be in Arizona.
Jealous?
Starting lucky
very,
you, man.
Very. He is Dom Cotroneo. Thank you so much for joining us. Brewers Radio Network.